Welcome to the world of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors, where it's all about muscle, health, history, training, nutrition, bodybuilding, and state of mind.
Hello, listener. You're listening to the world of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors with Tomas Ach and Randy Roach. Hey, Randy.
How are you doing, Tomas?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad.
Let's get right into today's topic, which is, or who is, Don Haworth. How we came about talking about Don is I've had plans of putting a website together for Don for a long time. And 3 days ago, I got a request asking about Don's Dynamic Delts course that he had put out a while ago to see if I have it available. And I did not. And honestly, I didn't even know he had one. And I called you asking if you knew about it, to which you said no, you did not. But you have the next best thing, which is, let's call Don.
Yeah, I was actually aware that he had a shoulder routine. Like Don had mentioned that a couple of times. I just didn't know the name of it. In volume one, I call him the Duke of Delts, but I didn't know the name of it. But I remembered that he had told me that Gene Mose, who's a good friend of Don's, has been for 50 years, had put something together way back. I'm not sure if it was the 60s or 70s that he put that shoulder routine together.
You just didn't know that it was available still. Well,
yeah, I that it was still floating out there. If in fact it is, it doesn't look like it actually is still out there.
No, I looked for it and I couldn't actually buy it.
It was funny because I talk with Don regularly and I called and asked him about that again, and he just kind of reiterated the same thing and kind of put in the bug in his ear if he wanted to redo it or write out, sit down. And it would have been nice if we had a copy for him to have looked at it to see what he had written, and then he could augment to see what has changed in his training and compared to 1960s, when most people might already know Don won the IFBB Mr. America in 1967.
Yeah.
Almost 50 years ago. But Don is, most people don't know, Don's going to be 80 years old this November 9th, and he still does personal training. What's actually interesting with Don being born November 9th, he shares the same birthday as Vince. Vince was 17 years older, but also Ed Corney, Lou Ferrigno. Did I say Bob Hoffman?
You have not mentioned him yet.
Yeah. Bob, Vince, Ed, Lou.
Vince is Vince Gironda.
Yeah, Vince. They all had that same November 9th birthday.
That is interesting.
Yeah, but Don's going to be 80 years old. 80 years old. It's hard to fathom that, eh? Because I'm just so used to seeing that picture of him that's on his website. That the picture I used in volume one, I saw that picture first in 1972 or 73 in a magazine. I just was like, oh my God.
I saw that picture somewhere in like 2001 or two, and I thought it was a recent bodybuilder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jeez, that was like 30 years after. Yeah, I was just only a kid. I was only 12, 13 years old when I had it in the magazine. But I couldn't get over how wide the guy was.
It was incredible.
And now, of course, Don is, his mother was Irish. His father was Welsh, and I think one quarter Iroquois. We had the Iroquois up here in Canada, but I think he was one quarter Iroquois. Possibly why he might be so wide in the shoulders, but he's got the wide clavicles, right? So as soon as you add any muscle to that, it's just going to be look outrageous in size. But Don, he was like a lot of those guys in the benches gym back then, they were all individualists. They all trained somewhat different, and they all had these neat little gimmicks and tricks that they did in terms of training. And Don still has those tricks, and when he trains, he has a unique way of training people and sharing that knowledge that he has. So I don't know why he hasn't put out more over the years. He could probably put out quite a bit of training advice, but he just shares it with his training clients. So maybe we can maybe think about getting him to do another short course on delts if anybody's out there interested in it.
Yeah, let's put that up for a vote. If, listener, you're interested in hearing from Don Haworth and how he trains his clients and how he used to train his own shoulders, let us know, and we'll try to coerce him into writing something up, and we'll put it together, make it available for everyone, not just his clients.
It's funny, though, when I got older, I realized I can't relate to him. I just don't have his natural shoulder width. I could actually more relate to Larry Scott. And I had tried many different ways of hitting the side delts and rear delts. And it took me several years to establish my own way of hitting those muscles directly, because I'd always burn my traps, would always burn and stuff. And then you watch people in the gym, they're just swinging the dumbbells like crazy, and it's doesn't work. Some really good techniques for building the delt muscles, side, front, and rear, but it's hard to explain.
Do you do isolation work?
Oh, yeah.
Get into a specific angle where you hit it and hit it only?
For me, yeah, I had to find this way, especially with rear delts. But most people don't realize just how much developing the rear delts really adds to the thickness and the roundness of the shoulder. And most people don't do it. And if they do it, they're swinging. They're always swinging the dumbbells, whether even side laterals, bent laterals. They always want to swing and get the upper body moving in momentum, and you can't do that. You have to get a nice full range, and you have to totally isolate that muscle, even if you start with 2-pound dumbbells.
That's what it is, usually too much weight, and you have to swing it, and you got to bring in all the other muscles to help, like the traps.
Yep, and they'll start shrugging. When they start to come up as too heavy, they start to shrug. And when you get the technique down, if you start with a really light weight and even high reps, you can get actually very strong with those muscles and can get up to 40, 50-pound dumbbells doing them fairly strict, right? But when you see guys getting up to those weights, it's usually they drop down very fast, they bend over, and then they heave them up.
And just get a little bounce with your calves, bend the knees, straighten them. It's like a mini squat too.
Yep. There's a lot of momentum, a lot of action. You can really get a huge pump off doing it in a certain way. So perhaps maybe we should look at – it's so easy to shoot videos these days.
Yes, and it's a lot easier to explain it through a video than through the audio medium.
Yeah, because just to try to describe this, I do consultations over the phone, and it's awkward to describe how to do them because a lot of people do want to know how to do them right. Mm. But it is awkward unless you just say, here, go here, and check this, and you can see exactly what we're talking about, right? So maybe it's something we can look at doing as well.
Yeah, it's one step removed from actually being trained by someone, so it's the next best thing, because there is nothing better than having, let's say, you around. I know the way you train, because you've trained me on a couple of exercises, is you actually feel the muscle and the movement, because you can't see the person doing the exercise, so you put your hand on the muscles that should be working, and you can tell whether they're activating the right muscles or not.
Not that you cheated.
No, of course you don't. Of course I don't.
It's perfect, right?
Yeah, well, that's how I roll. But
I got this really neat pressing bar I got years back. I also make them too, where you can do overhead presses without hitting yourself in the head with the bar. Mm-hmm. It's counterbalanced around the head. You've seen them.
You have a lot of cool little
tools. I just made another 30-pound bar. I just had it readjusted so the women can use it as well, because the other bars I was making before, I was doing them with stainless and with a heavier solid bar, they were coming in at like 55 pounds minimum. And I think the very first bar I bought for Jesse Hogan weighed about 70 pounds. So this is made of a hollow pipe, and it's only 30 pounds. But the bar is great because you can also use it for rowing. So you can do bent rows through the knees, without having to worry about navigating a barbell around the knees. But primarily, it's a pressing bar because it's a rotating sleeve that you can clean it, and the bar stays in this horizontal float. And you can press up and down without worrying about having to move your head forward or backwards and get a straight-up press. And it really hits the shoulders really hard.
Does it work specifically on all three heads or?
The upper back, anytime you're doing a standing press and you've got to have the bar under total control, which means you're lowering it under control, full range, you'll feel the entire upper back burning because those muscles are working to help keep you stable.
Yes.
And then the front delts and some of the side delts and the trapezius, if you extend the arms straight up and lock them out, you'll really kind of elevate the shoulder girdle and get the trapezius. And I found I blew up in terms of pump on my traps doing it that way, more so than I would get out of doing barbell shrugs and stuff. So I really like that movement. And it is safe when you're doing like 15, 25, 30 repetitions in a controlled manner. It is a very safe movement. I actually used it. It increases flexibility in the shoulder girdle. A lot of guys can't even get I'm talking about non-lifters. Other athletes in other sports can't even take a broom handle and like a barbell and put it behind their neck. they're that tight in the shoulders. I'm 55, and all these years, and I've injured my shoulders before, but from stupidity, from the years. But I can still put my elbows right back and come with great clearance behind my head with the bar because I have that flexibility. So it lends to that notion that when you do train in a full range of motion, you do increase flexibility.
And using your contraption, we can take a picture of it or a video of it next time I'm there over at your place. You don't need, you can use it, whatever flexibility you have, and increase it.
That's right. And even if with those people with flexibility, as you get fatigued in the movement, sometimes their head will move and you just hear a little ding. With the regular bar, you'll get a ding off the head, right? The back of the head. So, because otherwise, if you're just using a straight barbell behind the head, you have to keep really focused to keep it back there. But sometimes, when you get a little bit tired, people want to tend to lean backwards, right? Want to tend to get into that bench press.
Yeah, because the front delts can help.
Yeah. At this bar, you can still do it. You can do what you want because the bar will never hit you in the head.
Yes.
But then you start, you move the movement into a different muscle area, but it's fine. But you start using heavy weights and bending over like that, you're going to get into all sorts of issues with the back, the lower back.
Absolutely. So going back to Don, since you just spoke with him and you speak with him regularly, what's he up to these days? Is he he's still training clients?
He still lives in Rosemead. He is living in the same house. He was the only child, so he took it over from his parents. He still has the same phone number that has been in that house since 1941. Can you imagine that? 1941. He was born in 1935. He was only 6 years old when his parents got that number on the house. So his parents died. I'm not sure whether his mother or his father went first, but he took the house over, inherited the house about 15 years ago, I believe. But I think he's actually considering now making a move to, like I say, he's going to be 80, and he's thinking of moving with his daughter and his grandkids. He's got a couple of grandkids. And it'll keep him in the same vicinity. I think he can still has good access. He's still driving around and still has access to the gym where he will train. He's at that stage in your life where you have to think that, it's not probably good for anybody at 80 years old to be alone, just in case anything happens, right? So,
yeah, I mean, that's, we can even bring him on the show and ask him.
Yeah, he'd probably do that. The thing that will bother him most is his animals. In 1967, when he trained for the Mr. America, he was living with 22 cats. Now, I personally think that's insane, but he loves his animals and cats, and he doesn't not have that many cats now, but he has several, a few that will stay indoors with him, and some that will come in and out around, but he's probably got about 6 or 7 cats hanging around all the time, but wherever he goes, he can't do that, right?
Yes.
So, but I think that's what bothers him the most, is that he will lose many of his animals, and it's a big change of life where he is. He's got a pretty big, good piece of property, and it still has all the foliage on it where everybody around him has been bought. They've been purchased, and the trees have been cleared out, and big houses have been put on and stuff. So it's just not the same neighborhood or world in that part of California as it was for Don. Like, I love listening to him talk about the 1960s and, what it was like. It was a different place back at that time, and especially when he was training for the Mr. America, California was a cool place to be. And I told Don I didn't know if I was more impressed the fact that he won Mr. America, or in between he'd sit on the top of the hills, look down in Hollywood, the valley, and watch them tape Gilligan's Island.
Oh, really?
Oh, I was totally blown away by that. I said, that's the top of the line, right? Anytime you can watch him do Gilligan's Island. So it's just California, when you hear Don talk, he misses that old, those days, when it was a different era back then.
Yeah, it sounds like it was totally different. I can't even imagine. I mean, I never watched Gilligan's Island, so it doesn't mean as much to me as it does to you, but I think you were a big fan.
Yeah, I was a huge fan, but I'm about 15 years older than something like that, so I grew up with it. But everybody knows about Gilligan's Island, but, that's the resort to reruns, which I do have some DVDs, by the way.
Okay, good. And you rewatch them, rehear them.
Rewatch them. It's still stupid humor. I can't even see them anymore. I still listen to the stupid things.
Okay, so Don, I think is gonna. Well, we'll ask him if he's interested. But I'd love to have him on the show and talk to him, ask him. And if listener, you have any questions for Don, then please send them to us either through email or through the comments below.
Yeah, because if Don doesn't come on the show, we can still answer the questions on a show, a question and answer part, you know.
Absolutely, we can ask him.
Answers.
Yeah, we'll figure it all out. Okay, I think we're done for today.
Yeah.
Unless you have anything else to say about Don. The one other thing that I would say about Don is we're going to try, because I'm interested in hearing what he has to say about shoulders. So we'll see if he's willing to do something and create a little course on how one can make their shoulders as wide as possible, given their clavicles.
Yeah.
Thank you, Randy.
Okay, Tomas. So it's good for today.
I will talk with you later.
Okay.
Oh, before we go, we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with us by leaving a comment on our website, theworldofmuscle.com. And also, if you like this podcast, please share it with a friend and be sure to give it a 5-star review on iTunes. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to The World of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. We hope you've enjoyed the content of this episode, and we're looking forward to sharing more next time.